This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So before we get back to the whistleblower, have you listened or looked at what Luis Elizondo says?
I've seen stuff, not in depth, but like you said, a lot of it is information without evidence. As a skeptic, it's hard to bite when there's information without evidence.
And as we all agree, if he has a security clearance, and of course we have that argument with a certain case that's involving a political figure right now, and I don't want to get into it, we all know what it is. If he has a security clearance, which he does, if he knows any guilty knowledge about UAP reality, couldn't tell us anyway.
No.
Because then he would step on toes. So you know anything he says doesn't step on toes. You know anything the whistleblower says doesn't step on toes. Now, if other people come forward and say the whistleblower is right, we can testify we saw something too. Maybe if two or three people say the same thing, even without evidence, they'd have more credibility.
Maybe. They might have more credibility. If it's two or three people come forward that say, hey, I'll back him up. I was in the office. We worked together and saw this. That doesn't necessarily make it credible. That, you know, you could make the argument, yeah, there are three people who concocted this plan years ago to do this. Not saying that's the case, but there will be people that will make that argument.
Even if someone has direct knowledge, says, yes, I saw the craft. Yes, I work with the scientists who are trying to reverse engineer the craft. Yes, I saw the alien bodies. Fine, prove it. How
yes,
can you prove it without producing physical evidence?
But we've had that all for years with Bob Lazar.
Well, and Bob Lazar is not somebody that I tend to take seriously. I know we did ask him to come on the show. Tim wrote him a few times. Come on the show. And the best we get is that he no longer does that. Now, I know George Knapp, who is a credible reporter, believes Lazar. And maybe he did have some kind of minor connection to the affairs, but he produced nothing.
No. And the thing is, with an example, with a case like a Bob Lazar, who's made a lot of these same claims without the evidence, and it has split even the world of the believers in half. So, you know, this guy comes along, starts making the same types of claims without evidence. Maybe has a little more credibility because we've actually been able to prove, yeah, he really did have access to these places and positions, which is still people debate with Lazar whether he did or not. So there's more credibility, but there's still no evidence. But the fact of the matter is, it was a sexy headline that would draw attention for a few days. And I would say sell newspapers, but that's such an outdated term. You think you dated yourself earlier in the show. I just dated myself with a selling newspapers line. But it generated clicks. How's that sound?
There you go.
For a few days.
Unfortunately, the attention span doesn't exist. So when the story disappears, that's it. As you say, we don't hear much about the UFO whistleblower except in the UFO field. That's where it goes. The story's dead. I mean, let's go back to Trinity from Harris and Valet. Even in the field, people aren't talking about it much. It's a dead issue because they're not talking about it. They're not producing more evidence that it's real. So it is another UFO story. No matter what UFOs are, and I think there's something paranormal, Brian, I think, needs a lot more proof. Regardless of that, it's never going to go anywhere unless there's some real, solid, physical evidence. We can say, well, something's going on, we can't explain it. That doesn't tell us what it is. A UFO or a UAP is a UFO or a UAP, unidentified.
Well, I'm curious. We were talking about Lewis just a moment ago. Has he made any comments or statements about the whistleblower's claims?
That's a good question, because I haven't seen whether or not he has.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen anything. And you would think that, you know, I mean, he would be the guy who, you know, I mean, supposedly, I mean, he was in the Pentagon, that and I know how compartmentalized that, you know, these programs can be, but, you know, he would at least make some kind of comment about this.
I will tell you the one interesting thing about this whistleblowers compared to ones in the past. If you look at the Lazars or the other whistleblowers from the past in the UFO field, there seems to have been a concerted effort to make them look like kooks by the mainstream media and the public. That hasn't happened this time. Maybe because it only lasted a couple days. Because, like we said, it's a different era. The attention span is a couple days. It's one news cycle. But they didn't attack the character of the whistleblower like they usually do in these cases. That I found a little interesting.
It may be, though, Brian, that if they were to attack him, it would only draw more attention to him. If they ignore him, treat him like he doesn't exist, they figure the story will fade.
Which it will. No matter how sexy the story is, it fades. I'll give you a perfect example. Last time I was on the show, we did a lot of talk about my research into Jack the Ripper. If you remember a few years ago, this headline hit every newspaper and internet site and news show and channel that they found a shawl that had DNA evidence of who the Ripper was, because it's one of the victim's shawls and it matched it, and they know for sure the case closed. And that was everywhere for 2 days. For the next year and a half, I was doing shows with one of the leading geneticists in the entire world, whose name I'm not going to give, but I can tell people if they want to find out who it is. It's did a lot of work in England to prove a certain king's skeleton was his. Anyway, we debunked the whole thing, the entire story. None of it made sense. There were so many holes in it that we could instantly disprove it in like 10 minutes. But that story was sexy for 2 days, and every once in a while people will still say, yeah, didn't they solve that case a few years ago? Because they remember that headline. They don't remember the year and a half, 2 years that we debunked it on every show in the world.
Well, just without knowing a lot and not recalling the other show that we talked about it in, I would think, as a practical matter, if they did recover this DNA, they'd have to have something to compare it with.
Bingo!
That's the problem. Unless they had the DNA of somebody from that time frame,
not only
how would
that,
you know? How would you know what's going on? There's no way.
No, not only that, the shawl never really existed. It just kind of materialized. I mean, it exists now. Someone has it. But the victim never had that shawl. Fabric experts said it was Edwardian, not Victorian, so it wasn't even from the right time period. It had been handled by hundreds of people over the years, passed from houses to houses and sold at auctions and things, which would contaminate any DNA that did exist on it. But you know what? That headline was sexy for 2 days. DNA found on a shawl proves the case. It was
wrong.
As
you say, how would they isolate the DNA?
They couldn't. And that's what me and this geneticist proved. It would have been impossible. Even if they recovered any of it, it would have been so damaged you couldn't link it to anyone.
Well, I suppose we can go back through time with our time machine. Call up the ghost of H.G. Wells, get the time machine going, go back and see what's going on. In the meantime, never knowing the answer, and I assume that's a fair thing to say, well, we will never know the real answer. Never knowing the answer, we can have lots of fun with speculation.
Absolutely.
But does it intrigue us 150 years later?
Because we don't know the answer. Well, that's part of what intrigues me. People get into different fields for different reasons. There are people into, I hate the term, but ripperology, because they're fascinated by the fact that it was the first mass media serial killer. There are people who get into it because it becomes a study of poverty in the East End. There are people who get into it because it's unsolved historical crime.
Hey, before we figure this out, and maybe we won't figure it out, but we have Brian, Gene, and Tim and more to come. The Jack the Ripper story, back to UFOs, who knows what. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners, I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling 4-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these 4-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. They ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000, 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid, too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So you were explaining, Brian, the reasons this persists.
It persists because it's unsolved, it's unknown. We'll never know, and people have turned it into, for lack of a better term, a trademark. It's a trade name. People all know the name Jack the Ripper, even if they have no idea what happened or the actual facts of the case. And people study it for various reasons. It'll last forever, but I think we did solve it, mixing UFOs and Jack the Ripper, because wasn't there an episode of Star Trek where Jack the Ripper was like some entity that made Scotty kill someone?
So I looked it up, and it appears it's an episode about some creature that goes around the galaxy killing people. It's from 1967. It's called Wolf in the Fold. I can see that we can engage in any kind of speculation. I know there was a movie where Jack the Ripper comes to the present with a time machine.
Time after time.
Yes.
I love that movie. That's a great movie.
I am asked when I do Jack the Ripper lectures or conferences or whatever, people will inevitably ask me, what's your favorite Jack the Ripper film or documentary or whatever? And I always say Time After Time, and people are shocked that you went with one that's that ridiculous up there. I'm like, yeah, because it's a fun movie. Just a really good movie.
You know, it's interesting here. The producers of the TV series Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, what they did is they created the Jack the Ripper character in reverse, where you have H.G. Wells with his time machine. But the Jack the Ripper character, the mass murderer, the master criminal, is somebody from the future. It went through several episodes. Do you remember that?
I don't. I wish I did now, because that was the Terry Hatcher one, right? With Dean Cain?
Dean Cain, Terry Hatcher. And as a result of this character, she discovers at the end, I think, of the second season, that Clark Kent and Superman are one and the same.
I would also like to point out Dean Cain, former Buffalo Bill. Go Bills. Sorry. You got to be a Buffalonian. You got to throw things like that out there.
What do I know? I know he went to Princeton and then, what, dropped out? Or did he get a degree?
He got a degree and he got drafted by the Bills. And I think he blew his knee out in training camp. And that's why he left football.
So he blew his knee out and became Superman for 4 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, they brought him back for the Supergirl TV series, where he plays the adoptive father of the Supergirl character.
Let's face it, after you're a Buffalo Bill, what could be bigger? You have to go Superman. It's the only thing bigger than being a Bill.
The thing with Superman is that none of the actors, maybe Henry Cavill's an exception, really had a tremendous career after Superman, life after Superman. We have the first live-action Superman, Kirk Allen. Did a couple of Superman movie serials for Columbia back in the late 40s. The second one, Adam Ant vs. Superman, they introduced the Luther character as the main Superman villain, okay? They then had George Reeves play him on TV because Kirk Allen wouldn't do the TV role. For whatever reason, there's a conspiracy theory. George Reeves ends up dead. Did he shoot himself? Did he get involved with the girlfriend of a criminal and was killed out of revenge? What happened to him? Allegedly, he had signed up for 2 more years of Superman and was going to become a director. Okay, so he's gone. We have a couple of guys playing Superboy. Then we have Christopher Reeve playing Superman, and he does a credible job, although I thought that his Clark Kent was way, way over the top. And Gene Hackman played Luther as kind of a comic book joke, but this is 1978. And he gets involved in a horse accident, and he's crippled for the rest of his life. Then we have Brandon Routh, who plays the character in Superman Returns. What happened to his career after Superman Returns? Not much of anything, except that he appeared in several TV series, Arrowverse shows, where he plays a character named Ray Palmer, who develops this tiny suit that he uses to become a character called the Atom, a comic book character, and they used the name Ray Palmer to honor the real Ray Palmer. Back in the 40s and 50s, so-called the man who invented flying saucers. Otherwise, Brandon Routh's career hasn't gone much of anywhere. Henry Cavill, apparently he's got things going on. He's still being considered to be the next James Bond, so he's okay. Then we have Tyler Hoechlin, the guy on TV. He was in Teen Wolf. He appeared as a child actor, and he's thought of being one of the best Supermen in there, but he's still doing it. So after Superman, what happens to him then? He was a really good actor. Will he have a career after Superman? They still call it The Curse of Superman. In the original Adventures of Superman TV series, back in the 50s, no major player, after George Reeves, of course, no major player in that series had any career or much of a career after that show ended. None of them.
You know, you forgot a Superman.
Who was that?
Bud Collier, who actually did go on to more success after Superman.
I didn't mention him because he was a radio actor. So being a voice actor, he could do anything. He did Beat the Clock on TV, a quiz show.
Yeah, he became the biggest game show host in America for like 25 years when game shows were new. And he didn't get busted with any of his game shows, I don't think, in the 50s, like so many others.
The key also is here, you didn't see him. There was no visual impact.
True.
And therefore, he could play anything. I mean, we have a guy named Al Hodge who played the Green Hornet on radio and then became Captain Video on TV for several years. That killed his career. He had no acting jobs after that.
Well, it is a role that is definitely, if you get typecast, it's tough to break away from because, you know, you look at them for the rest of your life and you're like, hey, that's Superman.
Also, a lot of it is because these shows appeal to children. And they get invested in the character. How do you play anything else? Now, I should mention that Don Hastings, who played Captain Video's assistant, the Video Ranger, he had a big career as a soap opera actor. He's still alive, by the way. He had a real career after that show ended.
Yeah, how many superhero actors do, though? I mean, Adam West, you can say, had a successful career, but it really wasn't for many, 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 many years. It wasn't until he was much older that he was respected again and given roles, and they were always comedic roles, if you remember, after that. So he was never taken seriously again.
No, but he had good comedic timing.
Well, that's why he was that Batman. He was the perfect Batman for it. He still is Batman. I don't care what anybody says.
Oh, yeah. There's one other Batman, I think, when you look at the serious Batman actors. Michael Keaton. I'm Batman. He had the perfect look as the tortured Bruce Wayne, still suffering psychologically from the murder of his parents and thus becoming Batman. I think he had the look perfectly down. We've got more to come. Same Bat... No, we don't want to go into that. Brian Young, Gene Steinberg, Tim Schwartz, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. Former President Trump is heading to Nevada for a campaign rally. He'll speak at a volunteer recruitment event Saturday evening on the heels of Friday's stop in Council Bluffs, Iowa. Nevada and Iowa are on the list of early primary states. The Biden administration is providing cluster munitions to Ukraine in its fight against Russia.
We will not leave Ukraine defenseless at any point in this conflict, period.
White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan defending the move, arguing the munitions are critical for Ukraine to defend its territory against Russian forces. A Florida couple has been charged in the death of their 18-month-old daughter, who died in a hot car. According to prosecutors, the parents left the baby girl strapped in her car seat after returning home from a 4th of July party. The investigation revealed that both Joel and Jasmine Rondon tested positive for marijuana and alcohol, while Joel also tested positive for meth. John Schaefer, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, fast trivia question before we get back to the paranormal. Who was the voice of the announcer on Batman who said, same bat time, same bat channel?
That would be William Dozier.
He was producer.
Yep.
I think that was his first and last voice role, but he had the perfect voice for that. I remember the show was a half hour twice a week for the first couple of years.
But can you imagine hearing that voice doing anything else again, though? That's why that voice was typecast. Ever hear it anywhere else, you'd be like, hey, that's the Batman announcer.
Well, they had a version of the Green Hornet that lasted a year. I think he did that one also, same producer.
He did, and it was actually a much better show than it's given credit for. They tried to go a little more serious with it instead of as campy as Batman was. And I think that's the mistake they made, is that you should have gone all serious or all camp like you did with Batman. They kind of went half and half with Green Hornet, and it just didn't work. But if you go back and watch those reruns, they were great.
Van Williams played Grit Reed, the Green Hornet, who was a great-great-great-grandnephew of the Lone Ranger. Same last name, Reed. Did you know that? And Bruce Lee's first major role on television. And one thing about it, there was criticism early on that he was playing the so-called dumb Asian character with the pidgin English and everything. You'll notice as he progresses, he gets more of a role in the show, more dialogue, and becomes not just the assistant of Britt Reed, but his partner.
And, you know, in Hong Kong and in China and in a lot of countries where it showed afterwards, it was actually called The Kato Show.
Well, the one movie I didn't like was the movie version of Green Hornet with a comedy actor. I thought that was just plain dumb. If you're going to do it, do it. Because we can treat comic book characters with seriousness The Shadow, I don't know. It's always been strange. They had movie serials. They had various movie versions. We have the radio show. We have the Street and Smith short novels that were written. But we also have this movie from the 1990s with Alec Baldwin as Lamont Cranston. Now, if you look at the beginning of that, The Shadow's beginnings in the Orient mirror the beginnings of Batman, and Batman Begins with Christian Bale in some ways. He learns crime and to become a criminal in the Orient.
The problem with superhero movies is the market is so flooded with them now that they're completely formulaic and they're interchangeable now. They've become so cookie cutter. Action, sure. Exciting, sure. They're good to eat popcorn to, but they're pretty formulaic cookie cutter films. Before now's recent explosion, they were either really good or really bad. Let's face it, there were some really bad superhero films made in the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
It got to a point here where you had to have the supervillain. And the supervillain is way over the top. I would give an exception of that, though. I did like Supergirl, by the way. I thought that was pretty well done, although it was a fairly light series. Melissa Benoist is an incredible actress. She sings, she dances, she played Carol King on Broadway in Beautiful, and she made a credible character as Supergirl. But I think the best one of all is Superman and Lois, because they take it 100,000% seriously. The premise being Superman and Lois Lane are married for about 20 years. They have two teenage boys, one of whom has powers, one of whom doesn't. And they play everything totally seriously.
So you're going to hate me because my favorite is Bill Bixby, Lou Ferrigno, the Hulk.
Okay. No, I like that show.
Loved that show growing up, and when I still watch it today at 50 years old, I still love it just as much. Now, the made-for-TV movies they made after the series was canceled, not so much.
Of course, then we remember Linda Carter as Wonder Woman. But I think Gal Gadot is better, more intriguing as an actress, and presents something that's more, shall we say, almost paranormal in what she could do. She's a goddess. We didn't think of that so much in the Linda Carter version.
Oh, I thought she was a goddess.
Well, we're thinking in not the physical sense, of course. But she didn't do a lot after that. She became a nightclub act. She didn't do a lot in terms of movies, although she did have a brief appearance in one of the closing credit scenes in Wonder Woman 1984.
I didn't realize that. I got to go back and watch that.
That's correct. It's a short role, but it's undoubtedly her, and she certainly looks well-preserved for a 70-year-old woman. She was going to have a bigger part in the third film, which will now never be done, apparently.
But did you want a third one?
I don't know. After the second one, I'm not sure.
Exactly.
Now, one thing that bothered me here with the two Wonder Woman films is that Chris Pine played the Steve Trevor character like he was William Shatner. Do you notice that?
He did.
He played more like William Shatner in Wonder Woman than he did as Captain Kirk in Star Trek.
See, now this is why you love having me on, because I could talk about any topic like this. Did you see Chris Pine in the new Dungeons & Dragons movie?
I'm not too big in the game movies.
I am not either. I've never played Dungeons & Dragons in my life, and it has nothing to do with avoiding the satanic panic of the 80s, because I was listening to the metal music, darn it. But never played Dungeons & Dragons, didn't know anything about it. My girlfriend was a Dungeons & Dragons player, loves it. She made me watch the movie with her. I was like, this is going to be terrible. It is hilarious. I cannot recommend it highly enough, people. Even if you don't understand Dungeons & Dragons, you'll get a kick out of it. You'll enjoy it even more if you watch it with someone who does understand Dungeons & Dragons and can explain some of the inside jokes. Funny movie, very well done. Good time.
Now, if we're talking, by the way, of Star Trek and Chris Pine, I like Star Trek Strange New Worlds on Paramount Plus.
I do, too.
And you have to think here, I also think the guy who plays Spock, Ethan Peck, is a better Spock than Zachary Quinto was. And Zachary Quinto, I thought, didn't have that impressive exterior of Spock, nor the voice, but Ethan Peck does. He has the voice right down. He has bright look, and he's, of course, acting royalty. He's, what, Gregory Peck's grandson.
Yeah, I was going to say, that name doesn't ring a bell to people. It should.
I think that series is very well done. They're putting a lot of money into it. The acting is superb all around. And as you might know or might not, Star Trek Strange New Worlds is the Enterprise 10 years before Captain Kirk took it over. So all the things that happened, including the tragic end of Captain Pike, are shown here. And it gives them a lot of room to maneuver because you get to see characters before they became more famous in a TV series. This is a predecessor series.
And it's a great psychological profile into the mind of a good captain or someone who has to be a good leader because the character is aware of his own fate.
Yes.
Which gives it a really interesting spin.
Now, the original Captain Pike was Jeffrey Hunter in the original pilot for Star Trek, which they didn't buy NBC. They commissioned a second pilot. He wasn't available, so they got William Shatner. And then they kind of redid the Spock character with Leonard Nimoy. And the number one character being a female second in command was eliminated, and then she became Nurse Chapel, of course.
Yeah.
Gene Roddenberry's wife and the voice of the computer. But they made number one a bigger character with Rebecca Romijn in Strange New Worlds. You'll remember her as the blue person on X-Men. Here we go. Gene, Brian, Tim, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNlive.com. That's advertise at GCNlive.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Hi, this is Tracy Torme, screenwriter, producer. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
And you'll notice that our introduction there with our bumper music was voiced by Tracy Torme, and he was one of the writer-producers of Star Trek Next Generation, where he was also a creator of the holodeck. All right, enough of the trivia. Let's go back to non-trivia UFOs.
Well, so, you know, the thing is, we spent all this time talking about Star Trek, and in a way, Star Trek is responsible for my love of all things strange, weird, and wild, and paranormal because of Leonard Nimoy and In Search Of. Mm-hmm. So, big shout out to Leonard Nimoy. It was In Search Of that turned all of us children from the 70s into fans of the weird.
That, sir, is not logical.
No, he's got a point, though. Same way with me. Now, you know, I was watching reruns of Star Trek and was already interested in the weird and wonderful, so naturally gravitated to shows like In Search Of, which there weren't many of. I think that really was the only one.
That was the big one. That's the one that really still stands out in my mind. I remember specials, like there'd be Ripley, Believe It or Not specials once in a while, or you know, Kreskin would do his occasional television special for the weirdness, but it was In Search Of. That was my weekly dose of the unusual.
And you always believe Mr. Spock when he tells you something.
Yeah, except I kept saying, hey, what happened to his ears? He's got to be lying. He lied about his ears, now he's lying about Bigfoot. What's going on here? I can't trust anybody anymore.
But he had a career after that, after Star Trek, or during Star Trek. I mean, he ended up, his last role was the first Star Trek movie with Chris Pine. He played the older version of Spock from the original reality.
Not only did he have a continued career acting, he had an incredibly successful directing career in all sorts of genres. I mean, not only did he direct some of the Star Trek films, but, you know, he directed comedies, he directed dramas, he could direct anything, and he was very successful.
One of his most famous comedy movies was Three Men and a Baby.
Yes, it was. That's right. Also, the first film that featured a future member of the Kids in the Hall. Dave Foley had a cameo in that role as the grocery store worker before he was famous.
Huh, huh. Perhaps the most famous director out of the Star Trek crew, and there have been several who were in Star Trek shows, of course, would be Jonathan Frakes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Commander Riker. He appeared in a lot of these films and directed Star Trek First Contact, which I thought was one of the best Star Trek films. He directed that in one of the other ones. Directed many of the episodes. Continues to direct on the Paramount Plus Star Trek shows, Discovery, Strange New World, Star Trek, Picard, continues to direct those shows, and directs loads and loads of other shows. Became a really big director.
But if you want to see something funny, go search for the episode of Dukes of Hazzard he did, where he was a bad guy in the Dukes of Hazzard, watching him fake some kind of southern accent as a bad guy.
Well, he does a public appearance. He's really funny, by the way.
Yeah, I've never met him. I've heard he's a really good guy. You know, speaking of Star Trek, obviously you have Paramount Plus. Have you been watching the animated Lower Decks?
I haven't. I'm not big into animation. I'm very sorry, folks. I'm not a big animation person. I give up on animation after the Bugs Bunny and Donald Duck. I don't like animation, I think, because there is a non-reality or a hyper-reality, depending on the kind of animation you have. Like Pixar is kind of like a hyper-reality. I like real people. And that's me, and people now hate me, in addition to everybody who hates me anyway.
I'm not the biggest animation guy. But this show, if you like Star Trek and what Star Trek's about, I mean, very funny. Because it's a parody that is still respectful, because I don't think Paramount would allow them to do a disrespectful parody on their network of their biggest franchise. But it's actually quite funny.
There's also like a Star Trek Prodigy show, but that's been canceled. Paramount Plus, like the other streaming networks, has been cutting back quite a bit. Because what's happened here is they oversold everything. It's very expensive to produce these shows.
You ready for me to get in trouble with my co-host on Transatlantic History Ramblings podcast?
I am delighted. Go get yourself in trouble. It's not my responsibility. I'm in enough trouble.
Yeah, I did not like Picard, the series. And my co-host loved it, and she's going to listen to this, and she's going to, you know, give me a lot of hell on the next episode, but I didn't like it. I didn't. And Tim's been on the show. He knows Lauren. He'd be afraid if she was going to give him heck, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and she loved Picard, and I didn't. Sorry, Lauren, didn't like Picard.
I think the third and final season was the best of all. That's where they reunite the Star Trek Next Generation crew. That, I think, was very well done. The thing that's unfortunate, though, is that the lead actor, you know, he's not, unfortunately, in the best of shape with his voice. I think that Patrick Stewart looks his age, which is unfortunate. And he sounds old. And doesn't seem to have the energy. And maybe, you know, we respect him because he's had a terrific career. But that was kind of a put-off for me. Actually, I thought the biggest star on that... Pardon?
He's 1,000 years old now. What do you expect?
Only 1,000. But I think Jeri Ryan, 7 of 9, did a great job. I thought she was one of the best on that. Other than, of course, the traditional crew... Jonathan Frakes and all the rest.
But if I want to watch Patrick Stewart, I'm going to go back and watch I, Claudius, where he is Sejanus, and you got John Hurt as Caligula, and oh, what a great series that was. Derek Jacobi as Claudius.
I remember when Patrick Stewart first signed on to Star Trek Next Generation. He's a British stage actor who's now been hired to appear as a lead role of a major syndicated TV show. And I think he lived upstairs in somebody's garage or store or something for the first few months because he didn't believe in his wildest dreams that this show would last. So he took it to earn money. He hadn't earned a lot of money. I think I heard figures like £150 or something to be an actor. And a guy's in his 40s. And you think, wait a minute, an actor? That's the money he's making, not even a middle-class salary in the 1980s and 90s. And suddenly he's famous as Captain Picard, and his money's rolling in. And after that show ends, he did X-Men and everything, and became famous as the star of X-Men. But you think, this guy, until... He became Captain Picard, never had a big paycheck, or seldom had a big paycheck as an actor, a middle-aged man.
Yeah, but, and you know, to a lot of actors, that taking that part would have been a major roll of the dice, but he had nothing to lose. You know, a lot of people thought that series would tank after two or three episodes because Star Trek fans were so rabid and loyal they would never accept a new crew. How wrong they were. So, to a lot of actors, that would have been a big career risk. To him, it was like, it's a big career opportunity. I don't think it'll work, but hey, couldn't hurt.
It's also a paycheck.
Yeah.
Remember, a stage actor only earns a decent living if they work constantly. So if he's given this series and he can do up to 22 episodes or something a season, that's 22 paychecks.
Yeah, but you'd have to wear that outfit they had to wear in that first season. Yikes.
Actually, if you want to look at things like that, Michael Dorn is Worf. Having to endure that. That was a job and a half to have that kind of makeup with the guy who played Quark on Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still around as a working character actor with many roles, but if you consider that role, Armin Shimmerman, and he had to wait like 4 hours to get it on, 2 hours to get it off, and he played a character that could have been a joke. But sometimes suddenly you see this serious guy and you see this talent that's there despite wearing the crazy false teeth and everything else. And if he didn't do that, you wouldn't accept the character. And I think people accepted the character. Just like René Auberjonois as Odo, another really big actor. We've got more to come. Let's get back to the paranormal. Brian, Gene, and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you love reading about the mysteries of the universe? Do you wonder what secrets are hidden in the shadows of our own planet? If so, you won't want to miss these two amazing books by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. In Mimics, The Others Among Us, you'll explore the world of the mimics of man, beings that can look like us but are not. They've been among us since the beginning of history, hiding in plain sight, influencing our culture in ways we can scarcely imagine. In Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence, and Exotic Material from UFO Encounters, you'll discover the so-called hard evidence of UFOs that's been available for study this entire time, but for the most part has been ignored. These two books will open your eyes to a hidden reality that has been right in front of our eyes all along. That's Mimics, The Others Among Us, and Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. Available now on Amazon.com.
Have you heard the warning from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.